Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll-free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're listening today, thank you for joining us. Thank you for making us a part of your day as folks here in Portland get used to social distancing, as we get used to staying apart from each other to try to keep each other safe from the global pandemic that is sweeping the nation called coronavirus or COVID-19. We're going to do our best to still come to you here from the studios in Portland as long as they let me broadcast from the studios here in Portland. So thank you for joining us. If you missed show or missed parts of today's show, we are still rebroadcasting the show via podcast. So wherever you get your podcast, be that Apple Music, iTunes, Google Play, and the like. I got to tell you, folks, this is an unprecedented times that we're living in. Not only from the global pandemic perspective, you know, we haven't seen something like this. I've heard it compared to the Spanish flu of 1918 that swept, you know, through the world, that killed millions of people. You know, there's a lot of different things going on right now. And, you know, however you're listening, I hope that you are keeping yourself safe, and I hope that you are staying healthy out there. We, you know, we really do hope that. We've actually shifted our business, which is just again, unprecedented times. We've gone from no longer doing face-to-face appointments right now with folks. We're doing it virtually, talking to them over the phone, talking to them over virtual means like Zoom or Skype. And I know a lot of businesses are doing that. If you can, I would ask folks to support the small businesses here in town that are still working, those restaurants that, you know, or buy a gift card from, you know, your favorite small business restaurant. That's a great way to keep them in business as the, you know, enforced shutdowns are happening. But if we want to talk about how this has affected the markets, ooh-wee. I mean, if you have been in the capital markets over the last couple of weeks, what a ride it has been. The markets have had more volatility. There has been more down days. The Dow is on pace for its worst month since, not since 2008, not since 1987, since the 1930s during the Depression, in terms of the worst month that the Dow might be on pace for. Now, I don't know if it's going to keep going down like that. I don't know if it's going to bounce back up. I think eventually it's going to come back. The thing is, when you look at historically, and again, this is historically working with markets and how they've gone, every time that we have a bear market, that we have a significant drawdown, whether that be, you know, this drawdown, the one in 2008, the dot-com bubble, 1980, you know, we can just start going through them ad nauseum. They seem to happen about every 10 years. Chuck's been calling for this kind of a pull, you know, this kind of a pullback, and he was a little early to the party, kind of being bearish, thought it was going to happen, you know, before this year. I thought for sure it was going to happen in 2021 rather than 2020. But then we have this sort of a black swan event that is the coronavirus. And you couple that with Saudi Arabia and Russia trying to get into a contest over who can be stronger against, you know, the United States oil production, because they see us becoming a, you know, producer of oil, a net exporter of oil, and they don't like that. And so the way that they combat that is to increase production and drive oil prices down. So you combine that with this coronavirus event that has been shutting down the economy, and a lot of people are getting scared, and a lot of people are doing what's called panic selling. And, you know, you combine those things with, we also thought the market was a little bit overbought. It was a little, you know, it was overpriced as folks started throwing stimulus in there and companies were doing stock buybacks. And there's a lot of different various and sundry things. You combine those things all together and you have what's called a black swan event. And the reason it's called a black swan is economists, investors, most folks, and there are some who said they called it and said they got out and went to cash, and I would like to see the receipts on those, but most folks didn't see this coming, and certainly if they didn't see this coming, they didn't see it coming so fast. Now, what I've been telling folks who ask me about it, who are not clients of ours, who aren't working with ours, is now is the time not to necessarily change your investment philosophy, right? It is to access your investments and analyze your risk tolerance. If you are close to retirement, if you are retired and you were maybe a little bit more risky than you should have been, right? This may have brought that to light. You may have had more money exposed to the stock market. You may have had more money exposed to stocks itself if you went down further than you expected. Now, the trade-off for that, folks, the trade-off always for that is that if you're going to be less risky in terms of trying to get less on the drawdown or less on the downside, then you're going to have to give up something, right? You have to give up maybe upside potential, right? You have to give up that when the market was just screaming up in 2019, you have to give up the thought that you're going to track that market all the way up. That, you know, those folks that say, hey, I got 30% in 2019, how are those folks feeling now? Because right now, those folks that said they got 30% in 2019, and if they didn't make a change, they didn't rebalance, they didn't analyze their risk tolerance, they're back to where they were 2.5 years ago, because that's how the market has gone. The Dow dropped to its lowest level. It actually touched down on the same level that it was at when the president took office. So we're talking about erasing a couple of years of gains, conceivably, and that happens, right? So that can happen. That happens to markets on average every 10 years or so. So if that's something you can't handle in terms of a roller coaster, then it's time to analyze that roller coaster and make sure that you have the correct risk tolerance, the risk budget that you need. What we use in our practice is called a risk-first approach. And we do have folks that are more aggressive. They're younger. They're trying to capture that what's called alpha. They're trying to grow their portfolios over time. And those folks understand that you have to take risk to do that. And they understand that when something like this happens in the market, despite the fact that we may rebalance back a little bit and turn down, even if we're underweight equities a little bit, we're still going to go down. Right. And even if you're in a very conservative portfolio, you're still going to go down. But the key is if you can keep it from going down more than you can handle. The only other option is to be in cash. Right. And a lot of people say, well, I just want to hold cash. Cash is king. And the dollar has appreciated severely against other currencies over the last couple of weeks, which is actually it seems positive. It seems really great for us. Right. Just dollar is king. But the hard part is that can help drive markets down further, especially if you're invested internationally, which a diversified portfolio will have some international exposure, some emerging markets exposure, some developed markets exposure in the international stage. But this is a unique situation where everything seems to be moving together. Now, the nice thing is I've seen some good signs over the last week. Now, you say, what? You've seen good signs? I was talking to a colleague the other day, and you know, you remember when 2% moves in the market. We talked a couple of weeks ago. I talked to y'all about, hey, it's been crazy that we've had more back-to-back swings of 1% in the markets than we've seen in, you know, in a long time. And then suddenly a week later, we see, you know, swings of an average of 4.5%, an average of 4.5%, both to the upside and the downside, which is just crazy that is the way that the market is moving. So if that's not something you can handle, you need to consider other options, because there are other options out there, folks. There are other options than being exposed just to the stock market. There are safe money options. There's cash. There's CDs. There are insurance type options. There are other options to be in, because the thing is bonds are traditionally the safe haven asset, right? They move less than stocks. And that is absolutely true. They are on average, historically, much less volatile than stocks. So they are a lot safer in that regard on the downside. But the Barclays aggregate moved 11 standard deviations last Friday. Not this Friday, which would have been the 20th, Friday the 13th, which is crazy, Friday the 13th, because The market screamed up. If you remember back at Friday the 13th, the market screamed straight up and a lot of people were selling bonds. And what can happen with bonds if you have a high pressure on them to sell is you can get this spread, this disconnect between the actual price of selling that bond, what somebody's willing to pay and what you can get somebody to buy it for, and the value or the net asset value of the underlying assets. And when you have that spread, that causes a lot of price disconnect in the market, and that can make those bonds more volatile than maybe you were expecting. If you're thinking those bonds are there for your safety net, that could be a problem. So now is the time to reevaluate your risk tolerance. And if you haven't talked to your advisor, call your advisor. If you don't have an advisor, call our office. I am happy to sit down with you. 503-253-3000. And when I say sit down, we'll be across a computer screen from each other or over the phone. If you have access to a computer and we can pull up a video chat, I think that's always better, just because then we can see each other face to face. But we will sit down virtually, we'll review your portfolio situation, and we do that as a complimentary, no obligation thing. Now, that's something that I think adds a lot of value. We'll review your situation and talk to you about where we think we see those holes in your planning, where we see those gaps, what could cause you to upend your retirement planning, your income planning, whatever that is. And we'll talk about how we might be able to help fix those holes, how we might be able to plug those gaps. And there's no obligation, folks. If you call our office, 503-253-3000, we're happy to chat about it, talk to you about how we might be able to help. And if it makes sense, great. We'd love to work with you. And if all, you know, worst case scenario, you spend half an hour with me, 45 minutes with me, and just get a peace of mind of knowing, hey, I think you're in a good situation for your situation. I think you guys are doing a great job. There are also safe money options. And you hear the folks before and after me, you know, here on the radio talking about those options. And those are good options for folks, especially if you are afraid of downside. If you're worried about losing money in the market, if you're worried any sort of money, you say, well, Bo, that sounds great, but you just talked about the safer options. You know, bonds are safer. We're being more conservative. Our conservative portfolios were still down overall because an ebbing tide lowers all boats. They just were down significantly less, much, much less than the overall market. And we try to build a strategy so that your overall portfolio, looking at everything together, that's your stocks, your bonds, your cash, your other investments, your real estate, your annuities, your life insurance, any of these investments that you have in your overall portfolio, we want to make sure that it sticks to that risk budget that you have when we have times like these. Because this is the thing. When you have conservative investors, when you have conservative investment shops like Chuck and I have been for years now, then you get a lot of questions about why would I work with somebody like you? Susie Orman tells me to go out and buy the index. And what is happening now is exactly why. Because if you had just bought the index, that works out for you if you can hold on for 35 years, because eventually it's going to turn around. But if you look at the index on the 10-year period from 1999 to 2009, now I realize that I'm cherry-picking, but I could run those from other 10-year periods, but cherry-picking that particular period, 1999 to 2009, or I would postulate if you used, you know, 2010 to 2020 in terms of where we ended right now, it's going to look a lot different too. But 1999 to 2009, you rode up and down and up and down and up and down and actually ended up flat, right? And that's cherry picking because 99 was the, you know, peak of the bubble bursting, and 2009 obviously was when the market crashed with the 2008 financial crisis. But the idea is you can't just have a single strategy that is just buy the index and just, you know, put my head down and hold on to it. You want to have a strategy that is tactical, that is strategic at points, that has you set up so that you can succeed no matter the market environment. So I'm going to take a break there. If you have a question that's been keeping you up at night, something that you've been watching in the market, give me a call, 503-222-9700. I'd love to hear from you, answer that question as best I can. Taylor Cattell's not in today. Kevin Stege's not in today. They are working from home as, you know, offered by the CDC in the state of Oregon. We will be right back with Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Bo Caldwell, CFP. I'm here to answer your questions. If you have those that have been keeping you up at night, give our office a call, 503-222-9700. We do have a caller on the line. Harry has a question. Hello, Harry.
Yeah, Bo. Say, I have a question having to do with investment newsletters. Overall, what do you think of them? Is it basically you get what you pay for? I mean, there's several that are quite expensive, and then some that they have kind of an introductory special you can get for like $49 a year.
Sure.
And do you basically get ones that are broad-based, or do you would you prefer to get those that are specialized in a particular niche? Just kind of overall information on looking at investment newsletters.
Sure. Yeah, that's a really good question, Harry. So there are good ones and bad ones, and I unfortunately don't know how to identify those other than trying them, right? A lot of them will say, hey, we've got our secret sauce. This is our trading secrets. If you're on Facebook, you'll see that says, hey, sign up, subscribe to our, you know, special trading secrets for only $49.99 a month, and you'll be a millionaire. And I would say, you know, I don't know. Those ones kind of, you know, put me off a little bit. There are a lot of investment advisors. You can go to our website, pfgwm.com, and sign up for our free newsletter. Now, that newsletter is not going to be giving you stock tips. Sounds kind of, Harry, like you're looking at the ones that have good stock tips or good stocks to buy. And they can be really good, especially if you are a stock buyer. I know, Harry, I know you're into the cannabis space in terms of the cannabis stocks. I think that that could be really good because you can benefit from folks that may have a really good sense of how to invest. I think the Motley Fool is a really popular one that people follow. I know that they've had really good stock picks, but the thing about picking stocks is you have to, you know, they might be right, they might be wrong, and they usually put that caveat in there. If you can get into one, yeah. I would just do the research behind it and say, who are the analysts that are on their pick, you know, telling you about their stock picks, and it, making sure that they are giving you full disclosure that they are. Because if they're telling you to go all into Apple stock, are they long Apple? Do they own a lot of Apple stock? Make sure that they're properly disclosing what they own.
I see. Okay. Well, yeah, I kind of thought of that Motley Fool. In fact, they have several different newsletters, and they do run that special, that $49 a year special. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I kind of thought was either with relatives or friends saying, hey, let's each invest in one of these newsletters. And monthly, we'll get together, we'll pool, we'll see, you know, where do the newsletters coincide, where do they differ, and things like that. And then, like you said, I kind of thought a couple I was looking into have to do specifically with the cannabis. Now, I will say one thing that I've enjoyed with the cannabis thing, because it's been decimated for so long over the year. It hadn't had much more to go down during this thing we're going through right now.
Right. So you haven't gone down as much as the broad-based market. That's a silver lining. I like it.
No, there has been one particular stock, I guess, that needed some money that decided to, and they hadn't had too many shares out. In fact, that's why they were such a strong stock that they, I guess, have decided to reissue some more shares. And that was kind of in the news this last week.
Sure. Yeah. No, that I think, I think if you're a stock buyer like you are, Harry, if you're looking for stock, you know, I would just take everything with a grain of salt when you sign up for those, but there's no reason not to utilize those kind of a, you know, whether it's a newsletter or, you know, Morningstar or you know, S&P Global, any of those companies that offer those sort of things, just to get more perspective, as long as you are also doing your own research. And wherever you're trading those stocks, if, like Harry, you want to trade cannabis stocks, you want to trade individual stocks, if you're utilizing TD Ameritrade or E-Trade or any of these other companies that let you do those online stock trades, they usually have research departments that are pretty strong as well. So utilize, you know, that just kind of, if you're taking it all together and saying, hey, this is what, you know, Edward Jones research says, and this is what S&P research says, and this is what Motley Fool says, and kind of look at them all together, because the hard part is you're going to get conflicting options on different things. But no, I think that they can be a really good resource.
And yeah, another area is not that much. Started to show a little interest is that 5G area they're talking about.
Sure. Yeah. That, I mean, I imagine that a lot of the work from home options, that the ones that are offering the 5G as we kind of move into this new, you know, social distancing world, right? Is that I think a lot of those companies are going to do well. The ones that are providing work from home options, and you know, I don't know that, you know, I would imagine that would include like the Verizons and the Ciscos and stuff like that. I would imagine those are going to do well as we come out of, as we do find a bottom in the market and come out of this.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Bo. Yeah, thanks for your insight.
Yeah, of course, Harry. Thank you for the question. That's a really good question, and it's worth reiterating. You can visit our website at www.pfgwm.com, and we put out a weekly investment newsletter. Now, it's more about investment news rather than individual stock picks, but it's a way to keep up with what's going on in the broad-based market. We try to keep contact with folks and let them know our thoughts and our feelings about what's happening in the overall market, what's happening in the world. So, you know, Harry actually has called in before and talked about being a Roth conversion, you know, question, looking at converting money from an IRA to a Roth. And I had a question come in on the text line that was about the thoughts about converting an IRA to a Roth in the down market. He mentioned that they were 54 years old, but that isn't necessarily, you know, the biggest question. The biggest question is, how much does it affect your taxes? And right now could be a great time to do a Roth conversion, because, you know, your investments are down. So I have another caller. Gordon has a question. Hello, Gordon.
Oh, hi. I have been told, first of all, the stock market is usually a sign of the economy to come within the next 4 or 5 months. That's what I was always told. But here, what I'm asking your opinion is, why you don't think that we may be heading for a depression?
Oh, a depression versus a recession? No, I mean, we could be.
Well, let me just give you why. Okay, well, I live in Beaverton, okay? Mm-hmm. And I walk, you know, during the evening, you know, for exercise and stuff. And I'd say 90% of the retailers are closed.
Yeah.
How long do you think small businesses can last not being open?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. And I'm certainly hopeful that we get a handle on the pandemic, that we get a handle on turning the, you know, flattening the curve is a term that you hear, but, you know, just making sure that we can get a handle on getting people back to work. Yeah, I think that I think very similarly to what happened in the financial crisis, there's going to be a lot of small businesses, unfortunately, and very, very sadly, that don't make it if they can't continue on. I know that there has been noise, and I know that the Senate is currently in negotiations right now, and I don't know enough about the legislation that's come out in the last couple of days to speak intelligently on it, but I know that they are including a lot of provisions to help those small businesses. I know one of them that I read that they were considering in there were small business loans to businesses that could be forgivable as long as they keep their payroll going for a certain period after the coronavirus restrictions are lifted. Gordon, I don't know. You know, is the real answer.
Well, I'll give you a say. I own three businesses, and one of them's a liquor business. Okay,
sure.
We cannot open up. We can sell no tasting room anymore, no markets anymore, nothing.
Yeah,
I have overhead with two employees. Excuse me. I'm not going to be open for another 3 months.
Yeah,
I'll close it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then the other two businesses I deal with, but they're not going to. They're looking at more the big businesses. They're always doing that. The airlines, they're going to bail out the airlines for $50 billion. They're not going to pay interest. They're going to use the money to buy back their stocks at cheaper prices. You know that. And why don't they start helping the small businesses? They will. Yeah, they'll give them loans, and it'll be. Yeah, I've talked to somebody. They're not going to be interest free.
Sure. No. Yeah. And I, you know, I agree with you. Unfortunately, I am not. I am not in charge of who gets those things. And you know, I'm. You know,
you're
I'm
not,
in the same.
I thought you were.
I'll make a call to the guy. Yeah. No. I got a guy. You know, top men, Gordon. Top men. No. That's a really good question, and I'm certainly hopeful that they will make part of those provisions for small businesses. What I had read. Was that it was, companies that think you had to have fewer than 500 employees for the SBA provisions that were in there. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently on it, but I am certainly hopeful that they will not just, I'm with you. What I've heard and what the president has said, and so, you know, who knows if that's what's actually going to happen, is that part of the provisions that they're still working on with the airline and, you know, with, you know, the relief package that Boeing has requested and different companies like that is that, they want to put, I know there's a big push to put the caveat in there that they can have the money as long as they're, you know, saying they are not allowed to do those stock buybacks, right? So I know that that's a concern that they're talking about. Now, again, it's Washington, right? And it's government work. So we'll see.
Well, one other comment I would make is these CEOs, average of these airlines, are making between $15 and $20 million a year plus benefits.
Oh,
why don't
yeah.
they start taking a pay cut too, so that they, you know, I mean, a lot of these guys, and they were making tons of money on that extra luggage tax for the last 5 years.
Right.
I mean, where did they, don't they save their money like we do?
You would
for
think.
For any day at least.
You would,
yeah,
you
would
think.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, in the CEO compensation in a lot of those companies is appalling sometimes, especially when companies are going down. I know Goldman just came out with their, you know, they had just disclosed their compensation, which, you know, was at a very inopportune time talking about their executive compensation. And, that I think, unfortunately, that's just part and parcel with it. You know, I got to tell you, I feel your pain. I, as a small business owner myself, you know, I feel your pain. It is worrisome if, you know, revenues drop for small business owners, then you worry about, you know, you were saying, you know, the liquor store business, but, you know, how about, you know, restaurants, especially restaurants that aren't set up to do takeout. And even if they are set up to do takeout.
And they have one guy sitting in front of the restaurants and they're dead.
Yeah.
I one thing you did say I would agree with, everybody should support their favorite businesses to go.
Yeah.
And at least try to help. I've done that. I've gone to two places. And gotten to-go orders purposely because I like the people and I want them to survive.
Absolutely.
And if we could all pitch, that would be our way to pitch in to help everybody a little bit.
Absolutely, Gordon. Or you know, if they offer gift cards, you know, for those businesses that maybe aren't open, you know, now just to be able to buy a gift card to get some revenue coming in for those businesses so they can stay afloat. Absolutely. If we can.
Yeah,
if
well,
we can
help by that. I think everyone, if they went out of their way to support their favorite businesses, whatever it is, it would help. That would be our way to help these people, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great plan. I think that would really help ease the burden for those local businesses around here, especially right with the closures and the enforced stuff. Yeah.
And Portland has the biggest. I don't know if you realize this. Portland has more restaurants per capita than any city in the United States.
I did not know that particular statistic, but that makes sense. Does not surprise me necessarily.
Yeah, Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, New York.
Interesting. Good.
Yeah, because of all the food carts and everything too that we have, that's also counted.
Right.
Well, anyway, enjoy your show, and you know, maybe try to keep us informed about some things too, and that's why I listen to it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Gordon. Thanks for listening, and that is a really good question. You know, when you mentioned the recession concerns and that, you know, the depression concerns, it is a concern for me. And I'm not, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everything's going to be okay. I'm cautiously optimistic that we will get it figured out.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you betcha. No worries. That's a good question. If like Gordon or Harry, you have a question, you'd like to give us a call, 503-222-9700. We're going to take a break there and come back. I'm going to talk a little bit more. I'm glad that Gordon brought up the recession idea or the depression idea. Talk about those things. Talk about where we think the market's going to go from here and how you can actively review your financial situation and make sure you're putting your financial house in order. So if you have a question, though, that you'd like to give us a call, 503-222-9700.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. If you're just now tuning in, thank you for joining us. If you've been listening today, thank you for listening in. As a reminder, you can get replays of the show via podcast, wherever those podcasts are. If you'd like to listen or ask your question on investingsimplifiedradio.com, if you don't want to come on the radio to ask your question, we will happily try to answer it as best we can right there. So we're talking before the break with the caller about fears of a depression versus a recession, and it's a very real possibility. And I don't want you to think that, you know, when we're looking at what's out there and what could happen, that, you know, that's a very real possibility, considering how this, you know, how this virus is going to continue to affect our economy, affect particularly small business. We are a consuming economy, right? And that's how a lot of things get done. We're not, you know, I know that we've been transitioning and bringing a lot of manufacturing back here to the States. We've been increasing a lot of that here, but primarily we're a consuming economy. And when people aren't allowed to go out and consume, and for good reason, right? We're trying to keep everybody safe, particularly those folks who are at high risk when they contract the virus, at high risk of severe complications or critical complications. So I understand why we're doing it and what we're doing, but it does have a drastic effect on that consuming economy or spending economy. So if you cannot go out and spend money to help support small businesses, those small businesses are certainly going to struggle. I know that they are talking, they passed the coronavirus relief bill, which has a lot to do with paid leave for employers over a certain amount. Employees that work at a company that has over a certain amount of employees do get that paid leave. And I have not had a chance to dive too deep into that legislation, but I will try to do my best to do that before we get together next week. And just so I can come to you with my opinions on that. But I know that they are talking about other fiscal stimulus. And I think that is really going to drive how we can respond, you know, in the market wise. I think the thing to think about when we talk about a recession or a depression, it has more to do with the economy than the overall market. You know, Gordon mentioned that the market is forward looking, and that is absolutely correct. The market tries to look forward and predict what is going to be happening in the economy, you know, months from now. Right. And so when they're looking at those, it's pricing in these economic fears, this downturn in spending. And I can only hope that the market is trying to find its footing right now. But again, you know, that just begs the question of what's your risk tolerance like? And if you've been overextended into risk assets, if there are options that are out there that are non-risk assets right now, maybe a time to consider those. Might be time to give our office a call, 503-253-3000, and see what you can do to help protect that nest egg. If you're in, I've heard it called the retirement red zone, to use a sports analogy, because sadly we are not able to watch any sports right now as all the sports leagues are postponed. But the retirement red zone is what I've heard it called. But when you get, 55, 60, 65 years old, and you're approaching retirement or approaching, spending down your nest egg, it's worth taking a look at where you're at and where you are, where you are risking your money, because there are safe money, they call it safe money assets. There are options out there where you can participate in the upside of the market to an extent and that you don't lose money in. And so those are can kind of, you know, a lot of times can help people set up and feel a lot better about their investments. That being said, I think you always, always, and this is just my opinion, although it's backed up by a lot of research and, you know, and backed up by, you know, categorical historical fact, but you always need to have some money exposed to the capital markets. It's about how much is exposed, because the thing is, you don't want to ever have all your eggs in one basket. You know, the idea is we want to make sure that we are diversifying you, that we have, you know, some exposure to the market. I think, you know, right now I am not one of those folks who's saying, you know, everything's on a fire sale, 35% off, buy. But I'm cautiously optimistic, as I said. And if you are a stock buyer, if you are an equity buyer, I think now is the time to start nibbling at some of those pieces. If you wanted to own Amazon for a long time but just felt like the price was too high, if you wanted to own Apple, or if you wanted to own Microsoft but you felt like the price was just too high, now maybe a time to start looking at nibbling on those stocks, to look at taking, you know, maybe establishing a small position in those stocks if those are companies that you like, because it is on sale, because they are hitting all-time lows. Now, in terms of the airline stocks, I've had a lot of folks that ask about, should we be purchasing airline stocks right now? And I don't know which ones are going to come out of this. I know they will come out of the people need to travel, right? That's the thing, is this, I don't think that this virus, I don't think that this economic downturn is the apocalypse, right? I think that we've been through worse as a country, and we are super resilient as a country. We are super, super resilient. And I know that as Americans, we will come through this and we'll come out stronger for it on the other side. It'll be different. It was different after 2008. It was different after 9/11, right? It was different after Vietnam. It was different after World War II. It was different after World War I. It's different when we go through these things, and the world is different, and we'll see what happens, and hopefully it's for the better. I think America is constantly improving. I think we are constantly utilizing that American ingenuity, and I think we are getting better as a country, and I think that we'll come through this. It's, you know, it's a trial by fire sort of thing, I think. But I'm cautiously optimistic again that we're going to get a handle on the virus, whether that's a vaccine or a treatment or flattening the curve as people continue to participate in social distancing and actually listen to the recommendations that are coming out from the CDC and from the state governments and from the federal government that say, hey, you know, we really got to slow this down. But I think that the market is trying to find a foothold, and I've seen positive signs. I mentioned this before Gordon came on. I've seen positive signs over the last couple of weeks that the market is trying to find a floor. And some of those signs that you can look at that the market is getting ready to, I hope turn around at some point, is I don't think that's happening today. I don't think that's happening next week. I don't think that's happening in the next couple of weeks. But I, you know, our thesis is that we're going to be back moving forward by, you know, the third quarter, if not the fourth quarter of the year, because we think we can get a handle on how to combat, you know, the coronavirus and how to combat that. So if we can get, you know, some positive news there, if we get some positive news out of the federal government that Congress can come up with the fiscal stimulus that, you know, targeted stimulus that's needed, I think that's going to be very positive overall for the markets. I don't know if it's right now, right? So we've been very defensive and gone, you know, very, very defensive and very conservative in our any one of our portfolios that is not that long-term growth aspect portfolio. But if you're in a long-term growth, a growth portfolio, not a live off your retirement, getting close to retirement, you know, you can't ride the big roller coaster portfolio, but a growth portfolio, now may be the time to start rotating back into equities. It might be. Talk to your advisor. Talk to your, you know, your 401k plan. If you are thinking about now selling everything and moving it to stable value or to cash, I don't know that that's the right. I don't know that's the right time. So I don't know that now is the right time to do that, because you're basically selling at the bottom. And the people that fared the worst in 2008 or through 2008 were the people that sold at the bottom and never got back in. Because the hard part when you're trying to time the market, you're trying to be a market timer, you got to be right twice. And if you're not right twice, then you've really just, you know, screwed the pooch, right? So you want to make sure that you have a diversified strategy, a strategy for any type of market, a strategy for how markets go, and a strategy for whatever happens in the market to make sure that you and your family are taken care of. If you want to review that strategy with somebody, review how we are managing this, you know, this particular market crisis, and how we managed through 2008, how we managed through 2001, 2002, how we managed through 1987, that all the different markets. We've been in business since 1970. So we have it. We have a strategy, a proprietary plan strategy that has worked over time, up markets, down markets, to make sure that folks can live the life that they want in retirement. Sometimes that means you may have to consider reducing your outlay from your retirement. You may have to work a couple more years when something like this happens, very similarly to folks that were retiring in 2008. Something that happens right before retirement, you may have to consider those other things. So I have a text question that came in that was asking me to describe the life of a financial advisor in an environment of crashing markets. So like the kind of calls and questions that I'm getting now, and how, you know, how hectic it might be. We are getting a lot of calls from clients because obviously they are concerned, because everyone's concerned. If you have money in the capital markets, you're concerned. Even if you don't, you're concerned about what's going on with all the markets. But we have moved to a defensive position, and reiterating the strategy that we are using with our clients is making folks feel a lot better. But that doesn't mean it's not hectic and people aren't concerned. They're right to be. It's your money, right? There's no stupid question, as Chuck always said. There's no stupid question about your money and about, you know, your finances. The kind of calls, actually, interestingly enough, I was talking to a colleague who he works at he works at a bank here in town, and he's got folks coming in wanting to take out a credit line to buy into the market. I don't think that's the right call, and that's what he told them. Don't borrow to buy into the market. That's not the right idea. But I think that's a positive sign for the market when you have folks coming in saying, hey, this stuff's on sale. I want to go buy it. I do have a lot of clients that have called in and said, what should we buy right now? We've got some money. We've got some dry powder on the sideline. What should we be buying? Because I think a lot of people are market buyers when the market dips like this, and those are the people that make the most money. That doesn't mean it isn't a hectic environment. So if you're working with a financial advisor, a financial planner, you know, the thing about it is when you call in, we're in this with you. If you're working with a fiduciary planner, if you're working with an advisor that's doing the right thing like we do for our clients, we have skin in the game with you. The better that you do, the better we do. And if you're doing worse, we're doing worse, because our compensation is tied directly to how well we do for you, if we're doing it the right way. If you're working with a broker who just sold you a stock and charged a commission and then left, well, then, you know, they're not really working for you, I would argue, right? But for us, you know, we're working for you, doing our best to make sure that your nest egg is protected, because that's, you know, that's how we are able to put food on our table as well, right? So, you know, the thing about it is work with your advisor, have open communication, talk to them, call them. We are open to all of our client calls. Like I set aside time. I want to make sure that I'm talking to those clients, making sure that we are reassuring them that what's going on, that we have a plan, that we have prepared for this. At the same time, you know, everyone, unless you're in cash, everyone went down. That's what this crazy thing about this market is. Stocks, bonds, and gold all went down over the last couple of weeks, right? You lost money in all three assets. That is unusual movement, and that is just makes me believe that really this isn't a financial crisis. Again, it's turning into possibly a recession, hopefully not a depression. I think we might be in a recession right now already, just in terms of economic contraction that's happening over the last couple of, you know, last couple of weeks. And I think quarter one is going to technically be a negative year. And a recession is defined as two quarters consecutively of negative GDP growth in the economy. And I think that's going to happen, whether that's quarter one, quarter two, or quarter two, quarter three, I'm not sure. But I think that may be a very real possibility. In which case, recession is not the, you know, the scary boogeyman in the closet that you think it is. It sounds scary. It sounds terrible. But there are opportunities when a recession happens to make money in the markets. There are opportunities when a recession happens to make money in your small business. There are opportunities when a recession happens to do all those things. What the thing that Gordon brought up, and the thing that is driving this, that makes this so unusual and unprecedented, is that we have mandated shutdowns, right? So mandated shutdown of economic activity. So that is something that we are trying to navigate for our clients, and it is hectic. So thank you to the listener who, you know, asked that question. It is hectic, and it is, you know, it is stressful for all of us, right? Everyone is going through that. So the biggest thing you can try to do is remain calm, stick to the long-term strategy. Because if you're a long-term investor, if you're a trader, yeah, you should be pulling your hair out, because the market moves up one day, down the next day, and unless you're on the right side of it every time, which a lot of times you aren't when you're a trader, but because the market moves up and down on, you know, disparate days, being a trader is super, super stressful. Being a long-term investor is still stressful, if you have a long-term focus, if you spread it out and look, what is the long-term plan, then I think there's a lot of opportunity in this market. So we're going to take our last break here. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some Roth conversion strategies that I'm really excited about. I think now is a good time to do that. Talk about some of the tax questions that we've had. I got an email from Kevin. He can't be in today, but something to talk about on the tax side. But if you have a question, give us a call, 503-222-9700. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Legal matters are never easy, but they are especially difficult when they involve the most important people and aspects of your life. This is Taylor Cattell, founding partner of KG Law Group. It's important to have an attorney who cares about your unique circumstances and knows how to get the outcome that is best for you. At KG Law Group, we specialize in estate planning and family law, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, guardianship, and divorce. At KG Law Group, we provide both expertise and compassion as we guide you through the complex legal landscape. We balance knowledge of the law with exemplary client service. Whether you are reacting to a crisis or planning for the future, we are here to help. If you need legal advice, give us a call today and schedule a consultation at 503-878-8948. That's 878-8948. Or visit us online at kglawgroup.com. That's kglawgroup.com, serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. KG Law Group, your family, your legacy.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. Thank you for joining us today, trying to bring you some information, some positive lights in the darkness that has, you know, overtaken us a little bit with this coronavirus pandemic. And we're trying to make sure that, that you know, we have some opportunities out there. And one of those big opportunities, and someone brought it up on the text line, is a Roth conversion. So a Roth conversion to real, you know, I know I've been harping on it, and, you know, listeners probably saying, whoa, quit talking about Roth conversions. What's this guy got, like, stock in Roth conversions? But that's not a thing. But the deal is, right now, if you have individual stocks, particularly if you have high-quality stocks like banking stocks or Amazon, like we talked about, Apple, you know, you have those high-quality companies that you want to own for the long term in your IRA, and you're thinking about converting to a Roth, or even if you just have mutual funds and ETFs that are broad-based, but if you're down, let's say you've been tracking the index and you're down 35% since the high in February, now might be a good time to look at converting that. Because your account balance is down. If you had a $100,000 account balance and now it's down to $65,000, you could convert that entire account to Roth right now for 35% less than it would have cost in taxes to do it at $100,000. What better time to do it? And then it gives it time to come back if you're invested for the long term. If you are buying and holding those quality companies, if you are being strategic and smart about those investments, doing a Roth conversion right now can make a ton of sense. Especially since, I don't know if you had heard, and Kevin had emailed me about it to verify, but the federal government has pushed back the tax deadline, not just the filing deadline, not just the payment of, you know, required taxes deadline, but the filing deadline back to July 15th. They've said now you have until July 15th to file your taxes. Kevin is confident that the state of Oregon will follow suit. So that could mean that you have a reprieve on your taxes, but they have said, and Treasury has said, the IRS has said, if you are getting a refund, you definitely should file your taxes, you know, as early as possible so that you can get your refund. But that is a nice reprieve on the, you know, on the tax burden of it. But if you can look at converting Roth assets when they're down, you get that many more shares. It's sort of like buying more shares when the market is down, but you can convert more shares when the market is down. And now you have 100 shares of Apple at, you know, $100,000 rather than $200,000. You still have 100 shares of Apple, and that's not good math. You know, that's not actually the price of it. But if you converted those 100 shares now when it's down 35% versus when it comes back, which we think it might. Now, again, I don't know if it's going to come back by the end of the year, if it's going to come back by this time next year, or if it's going to come back 3 years from now in terms of getting back to levels that we saw in February. But historically, when markets go down, when they have these huge, you know, these huge pullbacks, right? Historically, not only do they get back to levels previously seen, but then they rocket higher, right? So if you're thinking, you know, why don't I just light my money on fire rather than being in the stock market? I had that question come to me yesterday, you know, from not from a client, but from, you know, should I just light my money on fire? Should I put it in a coffee can? And these are the same questions that people were asking in 2008. Why would I be, you know, investing in the stock market? A lot of people said after 2008, well, not investing in the stock market, right? And they missed out on, you know, unprecedented growth since 2008. Now, you know, some of you are saying, well, now it's just, you know, it's crashing back down. Now, the difference in 2008, the Dow got down to 9,000, you know, I think it got down even lower than that. Right now, the Dow is closing around 19,000. And that's significant considering we were at 29,000 talking about touching 30,000, right? So that is a significant down pull. Now, Boeing contributed a lot to that, Boeing just in particular as a company, because the Dow Jones Industrial Average is a price-weighted index rather than a market cap-weighted index. And so the Boeing doesn't make up as big of a piece of it anymore, right? Because now its price is down. But the thing is, we are still significantly above where we were in 2008. We are still only, right now the S&P is only down 8% from where it was at the 2018 lows. Now you say only and people are going to say, Bo, that's crazy. That means 2.5 years of growth is gone. Yeah, 2.5 years of growth is wiped. If you didn't have a strategy for working through it, if you didn't have a strategy for withdrawals, if you didn't have a strategy for managing through it, any two and a half years is wiped, but 2.5 years is wiped if you sell. Right, so when you own a security or an index fund, something that tracks a basket of securities, you actually haven't lost anything. You haven't made anything until you sell, and you haven't lost anything until you sell. Right, it's kind of the same as when you're thinking about a house, your home. It appreciates in value over time, but it's only worth what somebody will pay for it. Now, luckily, in terms of publicly traded stocks and publicly traded index funds, there is a market maker, there is a open market, there is a liquid market where you can sell those. But if you're looking at me saying, oh man, I was up 30% in 2019. My neighbor who's supposedly conservative was up 15% in 2019. She actually wasn't. The value on it was up, but she hadn't sold. And now that gain in 2019 is gone. Not only the gain in 2019, but the gain in 2018 might be gone. If you look at just a year over year over the last 2 years, the S&P is actually down almost 16% from 2 years ago this week. 16% down from where we were 2 years ago, right? So that's a big pullback, but only if you sell. I think that means it's a really great opportunity to buy. If you were happy with where your money was 2 years ago, why wouldn't you be happy with it now? So it's really hard to do that yourself, and it behooves you to meet with a professional, to meet with a financial planner, because the other thing that you can reframe and what we try to reframe for our clients is it's not necessarily about the returns that we get in the market. It's about, can you maintain your lifestyle in retirement? We want to make sure that you have lifestyle maintaining income generated. We want to make sure that that's going to safely last you through your retirement. And if that's a goal for you, if it's a goal that you want to leave a legacy to your kids, your grandkids, or to charity, we want to make sure we take care of that too and do it in the most tax efficient way as possible. So give our office a call, 503-253-3000, if you'd like to set up time to chat. Again, we're not doing in-person appointments right now because we're following the direction of the CDC and the state governments about keeping people safe. A lot of folks in that target demographic for at risk of the virus, but even the folks that aren't at risk, I'm young. I'm not in the target demographic at risk, and I don't have any coronavirus symptoms, but you could be a carrier of it and be asymptomatic. So I'm just doing my part, doing my best to keep everybody else safe. But I'm happy to meet with you over the phone, happy to meet with you over video chat, just so that way you can see my ugly mug and see what I look like. Give us a call. I'm happy to review that. We'll tell you what we're doing, what we're seeing, and we'll sit down and just kind of tell you where we think you're at. Now, there's no obligation to that, no cost. That's a question that people ask a lot. I use the term first hours on us. It's kind of a tagline. The idea is until we start actually doing business together, it won't cost you anything. And if you just want to have that review, we're happy to do that. So if you want to get a hold of us, 503-253-3000. Also, You can tune in next week. I have to apologize. Chuck was supposed to be in last week. He came down with a bit of a cold and just, again, wanted to be safe. So he's hoping that he'll be on the mend and be able to be in soon. At worst case, at least be able to call in. I'll keep you guys posted as we can get him to at least call in, if not come in maybe next week or the week after. But hopefully you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your weekend. Enjoy the sun while it lasts. Please be safe out there. Please be kind to each other. And I can't ask you enough. Support small businesses. Practice social distancing. God bless you all. Thank you for listening.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365 and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.